Hey friends, I hope you're all staying as safe and healthy and comfortable as possible, and that you're taking care of all the people and pets and plants that are important to you. This past week, I finished the 7th complete edit of a manuscript I intend to publish as a novel in late summer or early fall of this year. The working title of this story is 0% Juice, and it's about a guy in his 20s who has absolutely no charm or charisma and is essentially invisible to the opposite sex. He soon learns that there is a man living in the same city who looks exactly like him, but has loads of charm and charisma, and is seemingly seducing women with the intent of murdering them. As you can probably imagine, the tone of 0% Juice is darkly comedic. I'm very happy with how it's coming along, and I'm excited to release the book out into the world later this year, so that it may be enjoyed and appreciated by readers everywhere. Folks, you are listening to the People Are the Enemy podcast. I'm the host of the show. My name is Andy Mascola. There are no ads on this program, and there is no Patreon set up for it. The only thing I've ever asked of listeners is if you love this show, and if you'd like to help support it and myself monetarily, the best way to do that is by purchasing any or all of my books. I'm the author of 11 self-published novels that are all currently available worldwide in both paperback and ebook formats via Amazon. If you don't use Amazon, you can find all of my titles in ebook format at Google Play. Just search my last name, which is spelled M-A-S-C-O-L-A. That's how you'll find me on Google Play. If you've already purchased any or all of my books, thank you, thank you, thank you. I sincerely appreciate your generous patronage. And with all that out of the way, here's the quirky theme song. People Are the Enemy listeners, this is episode 329. Band, are you ready to play some music for us?
Okay, tell us when we're rolling.
Okay, you're rolling.
Everybody, just all of us lay back.
Can you do it? Can you play something for us?
We are rolling.
Oh, good.
You got it.
Well, here it comes. Oh, I'm feeling it. Are you feeling it? Listen to that rhythm. Come on, get into it. This is episode 329 of the People Are the Enemy podcast. Thank you so much for checking it out. You are now rocking with the best. And you are listening to Fanny.
You do me wrong, but still I'm crazy about you.
Come on.
Stay away too long and I can't do without you.
Macrame Vests. Is there anything better than live music? Come on. Yeah. Oh, man. So good. From 1972, that was the band Fanny with the song Ain't That Peculiar. Still haven't seen that documentary. I know it's supposed to be excellent. I want to check that out, man. But that's a live performance I found on YouTube. If you're looking for it, you can find it at Beat-Club. And that's the song again, Ain't That Peculiar, from a live set that they did in 1972. Oh, excellent, excellent stuff. Hope you guys are doing well. I had a strange week. I really made an odd mistake. This was weird. On Monday, what I like to do, first of all, when I get home from work, the first thing I do is, before I even take my coat off, is I put a harness and a leash on my dog, and I take her immediately out for a walk. And it's good. It's a good way for me to wind down after driving home. I feel like after a 30-minute walk with my dog, right after I pull into the driveway, after I come back from that 30-minute walk, I can engage with the family. I'm more relaxed. I feel like I'm not behind the wheel, white-knuckling it on the highway anymore. Not that I white-knuckle it too often, but you walk out of work and you get in your car and you're thinking about work stuff, As soon as I pull into the driveway, put the harness on the dog and the leash and take her out, she's happy, I'm happy, happy to be home. And then when I get home, finally, after we do our little 30-minute walk, I feel like I can relax and engage. But this was Monday night. Now, we have Trash on Tuesdays. I don't know. There's a podcast called Trash Tuesday that I listened to for a while, and I thought, well, that's an appropriate name for a podcast, is I'm always taking out the trash on Tuesdays, but I know that's not everybody. But yeah, our trash day is Tuesdays, at least in our neighborhood. And when I bring Lola back from a walk, I'll take her off the leash because she'll hang out in the driveway. She won't run away. She has run away, yes. I've told those stories before. I told that story once about taking her outside and then nature calling and me having to run back into the house to use the bathroom. And when I came back out, I found that she'd chewed her way through the leash and disappeared into the darkness. Yeah, that happened. Fortunately, she hadn't gone far and I called her back and she came back. But this past Monday, I took her off of the leash. And without thinking, I just put the leash on the hood of my car, like in between the hood, the part of the hood that's closest to the windshield and the windshield. So if you can picture that little area there. I suppose it's where your windshield wipers are tucked in, if you can picture that. And I did this so that I could take out the trash using both hands, obviously. We've got a kind of a wheeled trash barrel. And I brought that out. And then I walked back inside the house with the dog. She came, but I forgot the leash out there. So the next morning, I get up. I go to the gym, because it's always the first thing I do. Before I walk the dog in the morning, I go to the gym. Drove all the way to the gym, I say all the way. It's a 10-minute drive, maybe not even. Got out of the car, didn't even notice the leash was still on the car, on the outside of the car, on the hood. Again, like leaning up against the windshield in that crevasse area where the windshield wipers are. Got out of the car, walked right by it. Just didn't even see it. Went in, did my workout. Got out of the gym, was walking back to my car. I'm like, what is that yellow and black circle thing on my windshield? Did somebody leave me something? No, it was the leash. I was damn lucky it was still there. That leash was expensive. Yeah, it just shows where my head was at. Man, oh man. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope everything is going well. What else happened this week? I saw a wild turkey with its plumage out. That was unusual. I see a lot of wild turkeys. In Massachusetts in particular, there are some farms where they breed turkeys and they'll let them go and they'll just be out in the wild. They're usually pretty scared, of people. They don't really care to be around them. But you rarely see them out with their plumage. And when I say their plumage, I'm talking about like a turkey, with its feathers out completely. I guess maybe it's the male turkey and it's their way of attracting females. And normally the feathers are kind of pulled back, almost like in an ostrich type fashion, I suppose. That might be the only way to describe it. But yeah, I saw the plumage out. It was beautiful. Probably trying to attract a mate. Or either that or maybe it was territorial. I don't know. That was beautiful. Record store day. I didn't line up for record store day. I did go to our local record shop at the mall. Yeah, we have a chain of record and comic book stores here in New England. You may be familiar. I don't know how far down it goes on the East Coast, but began in Boston on a street called Newberry Street, and the place is called Newberry Comics. But it's at this point, it's comics, records, vinyl, toys, lots of Funko Pops, and clothing. They've had to diversify in order to, keep business going. But that's where I get my comics from. That's where I attend Record Store Day. And I like supporting the store. I think it's a great shop. And I went to the mall in order to pick up some comics and see, you know, what was doing on comic book day, or I'm sorry, record store day, rather. Comic book day, I believe, is next month. Free comic book day, that is. Imagine free record store day. Boy, that'd be cool, right? Nah. The idea of record store day is obviously, if you don't know, it's to basically, you know, promote all these rare exclusive vinyls that are printed up in small amounts. And obviously you charge a little bit more, and these independent record shops can stay in business because of the patronage, because of collectors who are out to get their hands on a limited edition, God knows what. I don't know, what did I see this year? Saw Hives, their black and white LP. Two record set, that looked cool. I saw a Stooges set from 2005, a live set on vinyl. That looked cool. The Slits. But I went to the mall. I had to use the bathroom at the mall. And I went into that, like, that family bathroom. The one that's like a male/female bathroom. And first of all, like, it's a large bathroom. And you can lock the door, which is nice. And I thought, like, somebody could live in here, really. Like, if they just wanted to, you know? Like, if you wanted to, like, live in the mall or sleep in the mall overnight, I think you could probably just go into that bathroom and lock the door and spend the night in there. Not that it would be pleasant, but you could probably do it. But I went in there just to urinate, if you must know. And I say that because I walked out of the bathroom, this, again, mall bathroom, and this gentleman was walking by me, and he was pointing at my feet. And I looked down, and this is embarrassing, but I'll admit it. And I admit it, if only because you knew I was just in the bathroom urinating. But a tail of toilet paper was, like, being dragged from my foot. So embarrassing. And I turned around and I saw it. I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. Obviously kicked it off my foot. And I saw that the gentleman was carrying a Newbery Comics bag, a big one. And I said, if you don't mind me asking, if I could stop you, sir, I said, you just came from record store day, didn't you? And he said, yes, I did. I said, could you please show me what you got? I'm very curious. Didn't know this guy. He was excited. He was psyched. First of all, I should say, a little bit older than myself. Man appeared to be maybe in his mid to late 50s. He was wearing like a, looked like a tracksuit, almost. And underneath the tracksuit, he had a gray Grateful Dead shirt. So I said, oh boy, here we go. And of course, like, he pulled out his prizes from Record Store Day. And, yes, Dead & Company, Grateful Dead, Doors, yes, everything you'd expect. from a deadhead. And he was thrilled to show these prizes off and talk with me about music. And I love talking to people about music. And, I mean, deadheads are a dime a dozen. You know, if you, I mean, look, am I Grateful Dead fan? No, not at all. But I know how to talk to music fans. I know how to talk to people who enjoy all sorts of types of music that I don't necessarily love or enjoy. So I knew what questions to ask. How do you feel about John Mayer? Did you see Dead & Company? What's your favorite era of the Dead? Etc., etc. And of course, this guy loved talking about it. And then we got into vinyl. How do you feel about colored vinyl versus black vinyl? How do you clean your vinyl? Will you buy used vinyl? I asked a million questions. I love asking questions. And to people who love music, they will love to talk about it. And it's kind of great, you know? It's this kind of a conversation that you can have with anybody who's a music fan. So we must have stood there about 20 minutes in the lobby of this mall before I even went to the record store, just shooting the poop about music and vinyl. And it was great. It was great. And then I went and I looked through everything. I didn't buy anything. I'm sorry. I know. You know, if I had more money, I would. But, you know, this, like I said, this vinyl was all, it was all priced to help out these stores. And unfortunately, I wasn't in a position to do that. I was out of work earlier this year. I'm still trying to get out of that, you know? Have you watched Conan Must Go? My daughter and I have been enjoying this. Last week I talked about Conan on Hot Ones. And this past week, I think it was the 18th, which was also Conan's birthday, the show Conan Must Go was dropped, as the kids say, on Max. And basically what it is, it's Conan O'Brien visiting fans in different parts of the world. And each episode is about 50 minutes long. And it's basically Conan going around with these fans, interacting with the culture, participating in activities that these particular parts of the world enjoy. The first episode was all about Norway. What a beautiful country. Lots of great footage of Norway. He goes to a Viking village, dresses up as a Viking. When I say Viking village, it's basically like a recreation of a Viking village, if you can picture that. We've got something similar here in New England. There's something called Old Sturbridge Village, where everybody there is dressed up and acting as if they're in the Puritan times. It's very, very cool. Old Sturbridge Village. And, so Conan goes to this Viking village, participates, dresses up like a Viking. That was fun. And then the next night we watched an episode where he goes to Argentina, hangs out with soccer players, learns about the culture in Argentina. The next day, we're meeting them out slowly, trying to enjoy each one. It's tempting to watch them all in one shot, because they're so enjoyable and so much fun. Goes to Thailand. That was a cool one. Very cool. You know, it wasn't cool. I saw this today when I was out walking the dog. I saw a divorced dad drop off. Yeah. I was a child of divorced parents. My folks divorced when I was like 3.5, 4 years old. So for 14 years, I was doing the drop-off. You know what I mean? My dad was there every other weekend and in the middle of the week. But yeah, I knew the drop-off. Man, oh man. But to see it, you know what I mean? It was just not cool. It looked like a dad and his maybe new wife or girlfriend dropping off what looked like a 10 or 11-year-old boy and hugging the kid and the kid taking all the stuff and the dad telling him to have a good week, et cetera, and just, you know, just broke my heart, man. But it happens all the time. And hey, like I said, I was one of those kids. That was the way I knew things to be, you know. You know, your folks divorce when you're very, very young and you just grow up knowing that, you know. But it had to be tough for that kid. It had to be tough for everybody involved. God darn it. What else do I want to talk with you about? Why are pina coladas white and not yellow? Shouldn't they be yellow? I mean, it's pineapple, right? What's going on with that? What else can I talk with you about? I don't know. You know what I do? I have a clip. Let me play this clip for you, but we need to hear the clip music first. So I just have one clip, but first the clip music, please. Whenever there's trouble, without the double, we're the Bloodhound Gang. If you've got the crime, we've got the time. Thank you. Okay, this is a clip I found on TikTok. It looks to be from maybe the mid-90s. And it's to promote the LSU Library. LSU, I assume, Louisiana State University. And what it is a young, hip-looking man. When I say hip-looking man, he's got headphones on and sunglasses. And a rock t-shirt that looks like for a band that was completely made up called Lap Daddy or something like that. Or maybe it was a local indie band or something. And he's talking to a librarian and he's inquiring about getting REM lyrics. And this is to promote the fact that the LSU library was on the Internet World Wide Web. I think that's how they refer to it. It's kind of funny. And that they could help him get lyrics printed out for some of his favorite artists. But the librarian gives him the business at first. So check this out. It's fun. I'm going to walk you through it. Here you go. Here's how it starts.
Can I get the latest music lyrics from, like, R.E.M.? This is a library, dude, not some big city music store.
Okay, at that point, again, yeah, the shirt the guy's wearing, it looks like it says Lap Daddy on it, or Lap Dads. I don't know what that is, but the librarian pulls, like, the kid's headphone off, and then kind of, when he says, this is a library, dude, not some big city music store, and he kind of plucks at the headphone and pulls it back on the kid. But he's just razzing the kid because he's on the internet world wide web and he's able to get lyrics to these R.E.M. songs for this young man. Check it out.
Yeah, man, R.E.M.'s a hot band. Let's see what we can find on the net.
At this point, you're seeing a monitor screen, and it's like the text is all like really close, and it's like lists of R.E.M. songs, and it's kind of, it shows the LSU logo, but it's all like so generic. It's like Web 1.0, you know, like at the very inception of, like, shoot, what was that called? What was that first search engine called? I don't even remember. Alta Vista, was that it? That's what it looks like.
Talk about hot. What's this? Hey, dude, this is happening. It's World Wide Web on the internet, and we get to it through the library network.
Hey, dude, this is happening. It's World Wide Web through the internet, or internet through the World Wide Web. We get it through the library network. Wow, the future.
Here it is. Take your pick, and I'll print them out for you. Hey, Sheryl Crow's lyrics are here, too. Can I get some of them? Hey, man, that's why we've got this network.
Wow, time's changed, huh? So funny. He's handing him over the printed Sheryl Crow and R.E.M. lyrics, and the guy's psyched. Folks, that's about all I have for you. I'm going to hand things off now to our friend Rachel from Des Moines, and she will give you the chart chat. So without any further ado, take it away, Rachel.
Thanks, Andy. Hello, and welcome back to Rachel's Chart Chat for another week. Thanks to everyone who listened last week. I heard from Sherry, Tavy, Mary, Jill, Jeffrey, Bob and Chris on IG, and John, a.k.a. Graham Friday. I really appreciate everyone who listens, whether it's a part of your Monday routine or if you're catching up through the archives. This week, let's conclude our look at Time Life Sounds of the 70s, Disc 30, Punk and New Wave from 1993. I saw you standing on the corner. You look so big and fine. I really wanted to go out with you. Track 15 is the first single released by Blondie called X Offender, that's the letter X. The song was written by Blondie's bassist at the time, Gary Valentine, and singer Debbie Harry. Though Wikipedia says Harry changed Valentine's original lyric and made the song about a sex worker being attracted to the cop that's arresting her. The single was released in the Private Stock label in June of 1976, with the album to follow in December of that year. The producer on the album was Richard Gorderer, who worked with 50s and 60s girl groups such as The Angels, and you can hear the sound of their hit My Boyfriend's Back on X Offender in the intro. The single did not chart in any territories, but it did get Blondie signed to Chrysalis, a UK record label, for that second album. The band made videos for both X Offender and its B-side In the Flesh, and in August of 1977, the Australian TV show Countdown, quote-unquote, accidentally played the video for the B-side rather than the A. Debbie Harry and Blondie guitarist Chris Stein have been quoted as saying they believe this was a deliberate move by Countdown host Molly Meldrum to play the side that might appeal to his audience more. However it happened, Blondie was a hit in Australia and In the Flesh was issued as its own A-side, hitting number 2 in Australia by November of 77. For some connections to the other bands on this CD, Blondie's original bassist Fred Smith replaced Richard Hell in Television, and Blondie opened for Iggy Pop on his 1977 tour. Up next is Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll by Ian Dury. It's credited on the compilation as Ian Dury and the Blockheads, though when it was released, it was a solo credit. Although Wikipedia helpfully points out three of the Blockheads, Chaz Jankel, Norman Wattraj, and Charlie Charles, do play on it. Ian Dury was a singer, songwriter, and actor from Middlesex, England. He contracted polio at age 7 and survived, though he became disabled on his left side. He attended a school/hospital for disabled children, then the Royal Grammar School, and he studied painting at Walthamstow College of Art. He was an activist for people with disabilities, including in his lyrics, as well as he was an advocate for safer sex practices in the HIV/AIDS epidemic and was a UNICEF ambassador with Robbie Williams. Williams has actually cited Dury as a big influence on his songwriting. As for Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll, it was released in late August of 77 and officially banned by the BBC, though DJs like Annie Nightingale and John Peel still promoted it. The song was a number 12 hit in Belgium and Sweden and number 11 in the Netherlands. It did not appear on his album at the time, New Boots and Panties, in the UK, as his practice was not to include his singles on his albums. But it has appeared on some reissues. It was included on the 1978 US and Canada release, and I learned it was kind of snuck on as a bonus track, an hidden track, in some 78 repressings in the UK. Track number 17, you already know, it's Psycho Killer by Talking Heads. This was the band's third single, following Love Goes to Building on Fire and Uh-Oh, Love Comes to Town. That first one was a non-album single, but Uh-Oh, Psycho, and the next one, Pulled Up, were all on the Talking Heads debut album, Talking Heads :77, with the red cover with the green lettering. Psycho Killer made it to the US Hot 100, but sadly only to number 92. It also hit number 11 on the Dutch singles chart. The B-side was an acoustic version of the same song, which featured Arthur Russell on cello. Psycho Killer went on to become one of their Talking Heads' best-known songs. It kicked off their 1984 concert film Stop Making Sense, with David Byrne alone on stage saying, "Hi, I've got a tape I want to play." The song is known for the French lyrics in the chorus, "Qu'est-ce que c'est," as well as in the bridge. Tina Weymouth, who grew up speaking French in the home, provided those lyrics. She, Byrne, and drummer Chris Franz are the credited songwriters for the track. Due to it coming out in 1977, the song became associated with the Son of Sam killer, but the band had been playing it since 75 and insists it has no inspiration from those events. Venturing slightly west, we find ourselves in Ohio, the home of Devo. Sidebar, I follow the Goodyear blimp on IG, and when Devo had been nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it was great to see the love for the band from the Akron-based company's account. Jocko Homo was Devo's debut single, released on their own label, Boogie Boy, which is pronounced boogie but spelled B-O-O-J-I, in March of 1977. It would later appear in a re-recorded version on the band's debut album, Q Are We Not Men, A We Are Devo, and that was produced by Brian Eno, and came out in August of 78. That title comes from a call-and-response chant in Jocko Homo. The original single is the one on the compilation, but the album version is great too. A little faster, though missing the round on the end, high in the middle, Ohio joke from the original single. There was actually an earlier version in 1976 on their own short film called The Truth About De-Evolution, and according to Wikipedia, it had a demo version in 74, and Devo first played Jocko Homo live on Halloween night of 1975, opening for Sun Ra. There's a pretty funny story about how they would just play it longer and longer, like 25-30 minute versions of Jocko Homo, just to antagonize the audience. Staying in the great state of Ohio, the next song on the CD is The Modern Dance by Pere Ubu. The group formed in 1975 and are still active today, though the only consistent member has been founder, singer David Thomas. Pere Ubu has made music in the following genres: art punk, post-punk, art rock, avant rock, new wave, proto-punk, and industrial rock. And the debut album, The Modern Dance, has been described as those first two plus experimental rock. The first single, Street Waves, came out in October of 76, then The Modern Dance in August of 77, followed by the album itself in January of 78. Pere Ubu took their name from a character in an 1896 French play, Ubu Ra. For the Family Ties fans, the Sit Ubu Sit Dog was named Ubu Ra, so they are connected that way. Also, the show took place in Ohio, so layers. Wikipedia references a single version with a, quote, doll squeak, which I don't hear on this compilation version. Rather, I hear the, quote, railroad spike, they say is on the album version and all others going forward. If any Pere Ubu heads know about this doll squeak version, please let me know. For me, I have a hard time with the vocal on this one, but it feels much more new wave than some of the rockabilly stuff from last week. The next band on the CD are also from Cleveland, though they rose to fame after a move to New York City. That's the Dead Boys. Wikipedia has them as active from 75 to 80, 87, 2004 to 05, and 2017 to present, with only one original member, guitarist Cheetah Chrome. The other founding members were the late Stiv Bators on vocals, Johnny Blitz on drums, Jimmy Zero on rhythm guitar, and Jeff Magnum on bass. Sonic Reducer, their track on the CD, was actually written by Cheetah Chrome and Pere Ubu's David Thomas while those two were together in an earlier band called Rocket from the Tombs. The version on the Dead Boys debut, Young, Loud, and Snotty, features rewritten lyrics by Stiv Bators. The album was released in October of 1977, with the single Sonic Reducer coming in November. The album's producer caught my eye because it's Jenya Raven, who was featured on the Chart Chat ages ago with her band 10 Wheel Drive. They had one Hot 100 appearance with Morning Much Better. Young, Loud, and Snotty hit number 189 on the Billboard 200 albums chart in November of 77. They were one of many groups on this compilation known for playing at CBGB's, and they were depicted in the CBGB movie, and I will leave it as an exercise to the listener to look up who played Cheetah Chrome and Stiv Bators, because you will LOL. The final artist on the CD is Dallas-born Rocky Erickson with the song Red Temple Prayer in parentheses Two-Headed Dog. According to Ira Robbins liner notes, the single version has never appeared on a compilation before. It was a B-side on a standalone single released in 1975. The A-side was a song called Starry Eyes, and that was credited to Rocky Erickson and Bleeb Alien. He had been a founding member of the 13th Floor Elevators, who high-fidelity movie fans will know for their hit, You're Gonna Miss Me. In the late 60s, Erickson was arrested for marijuana possession and spent time in psychiatric hospitals as part of an insanity plea to avoid jail time. Bleeb Alien was his new band after being released from the hospital. Again, I quote from the liner notes. Despite a 1990 tribute album with bands ranging from ZZ Top to R.E.M. covering his songs, Erickson had no real connection to the youth-slash-punk movement, but the new wave's stylistic strength was its embrace of adventurers and lost souls alike, no matter how far out they traveled. Well, that's all from me this week. Thanks so much for listening. Back to you, Andy.
Thank you, Rachel. Amazing work, as always. This has been episode 329 of the People Are the Enemy podcast. Our theme song is Walrus Love by Nokia Ocean. You can find that song and more at pizzapuppies.bandcamp.com. My name is Andy Mascola. You can purchase my novels via Amazon and other online book retailers in both paperback and ebook formats for as little as $1.99. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you, Rachel from Des Moines. We love you. Peace.